I would like to, I want to just remind you of sometimes when you're in the middle of the miraculous, it becomes mundane. That sounds silly, but when, how I know this is every time that I get a chance to rehearse the story, somebody says, well, how did you get there? Or what do you do? And then I start telling them, and I'm always amazed at what's coming out of my mouth. Because see, I'm just living my life day by day. I'm not doing anything big until somebody says, what is it that you do? Or what is it that you did last week? Or what is it that you did? What? And I start to say it. And then when I hear it come out, I say, my God, look what the Lord's doing. And so I always get so broken and so blessed by it and feel so unworthy. And then I just wanted to pass that on to you. You are in the miracle. You're in the middle of a miraculous happening. Again, today, these workers from Good Samaritan came. If you don't know, this place used to be the Good Samaritan Nursing Home, this facility. And so it has a great history. And so they said, well, how did you get it? How many years have you been here? I told them how many years we'd been here. How did you get that property? And so I said, well, one of the ladies that worked here for a little bit was also working for us and had been our secretary for a while. And then just friends. And she called and told us that the Good Sam place was up for sale. We checked into it. It started up. We found out when I called about it because part of our church vision had been for years to minister to senior citizens and to help be providing just benevolently for them and supporting and loving them. And anyway, we got that telephone call. We investigated. So I got to tell them this story very quickly. While I was telling them, all of us, all four of us were started crying. They had tears rolling down their face. I had tears rolling down my face. And I got to tell them, we started off, we called about it, and they said it was for sale for $1.2 million. We said a couple weeks later it was for sale for $1 million. During the time that it was vacant, the property sold three different times, all for the lowest for $850,000. And every time they couldn't get the permits to go through, and the deal would fall through for one reason or another. And so they were sitting on it. They were ready to board up. On the very week they were ready to board up the windows, we met with them and made a ridiculous offer. It amounted to about $300,000. It was an even exchange of property. We owned the property at 168th and Ridgeview. We still owed over $100,000 on that facility after being there for 20 years. I'm telling you, listen, we're in the middle of a miracle. Churches, I don't know of any churches today who are clear except ours. I don't know of any ministries that have no debt. I know that I hope that some of them do. I think probably the House of Prayer is probably a debt-free ministry. But I visit with pastors, and I don't know of any that have a debt-free church or own property without a debt on it. We were in a church for 20 years, doing the best that we could do, having a school and having lots of programs and lots of activities, and still after 20 years on that little piece of property, still owed over $100,000 on it. And so we met with the Good Sam people and made an offer, and it was an even exchange of property. What that would amount to is we would keep our $100,000 debt, and we would be they would be receiving about $300,000 worth of property for an even exchange for this piece of property. They just kind of, the real estate person just laughed, and she said, I have to. You made an offer, and I have to present it, but I don't present it with any hope. I don't want you to be having your hopes up for it. She just kind of left. Well, we didn't hear anything for a couple of weeks. A couple of weeks later, we got a telephone call. They said they would like to meet with you and discuss. And so we had a preliminary quick meeting, and I shared it with the guy who was the general manager of this facility and one other person. and they liked what they heard. They went back and they sent a vice president from Sioux Falls. Is that South Dakota or North Dakota? Sioux Falls, I think it's North Dakota. Who is that? That's the headquarters for the Good Samaritan Lutheran Synod. Anyway, a vice president came. They sent their lawyer, and they sent a real estate person, and they sent the manager of this facility. And they all came and sat down in my office, and they said, "Now tell us again, if you were to get this property, what it is that you would do with it?" And so we shared the vision of what the plan was, to not only have a church here in the heart of our city, but to convert what used to be nursing home rooms into efficiency apartments for primarily for senior citizens, also for people who are in transition. We have a heart for widows. We have a heart for orphans. I don't know how that's all going to work in this facility, but we want to blend all that together somehow, and we want to use this facility for the glory of God. And so as we were sharing that vision and laid it out line by line, I looked over, and of all the people, you'd think the ones who are the hardest, because you have a preconception of people, I figured that the lawyer would be a hard-hearted guy. But he's the one over there, and he's got big tears running down his face. And as I finished my spiel, he said, the vice president says, "Well, guys, what do you think?" And the lawyer spouts up and says, "I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I think we ought to just give him the property." And anyway, I got to share with the ladies that were in up here today. I said, you could feel the Holy Spirit literally come down in the room, and the presence of God just there bearing such strong witness that God was in this. And anyway, within a couple of weeks, that transaction was made. We traded even up and for the property. And so we entered into this piece of property in the heart of the city. The size difference, let me tell you. The facility out there, even after we added on an educational wing, was about 11,000 square feet. We went from 11,000 square feet to 77,000 square feet. That's sevenfold. We had a sevenfold increase in the size of the facility. We went from that facility was, it was on 3 acres. This is on a whole city block. That facility was what they call stick. And that means it's residential grade. It was a slight upgrade. We went, instead of 2x4 construction, we did 2x6 construction, a little bit extra insulation. But other than that, it was residential grade. We went from a residential grade facility to a hospital grade facility. If you don't know what that means, it means triple in the cost of building. And it means things like sprinkler systems and brick all the things that a hospital would have. And so we walked into that. That's what God blessed us with. The only major thing we had, there was a gas leak in the annex, and as part of the contract was that anything that was outstanding that was a health hazard had to be fixed by the seller, not the sellee. That's the seller. That was their responsibility. So we had an estimate on that. That turned out to be, what was it? Do you remember? Somewhere around $40,000. It was anyway at the closing, where we sat down with the closing papers and had to sign the papers. They said, "Now here's this is your part." And they wrote us a check for over $40,000 to have that gas line fixed. And the vice president again, this is the comment he's making now. "You mean it's only costing us $40,000 to sell you this property?" And they wrote the check, gave us had that fixed. Just a couple of years later, by the way, we filled up immediately, and people came in, went to work, and God started miraculously meeting our needs. When I tell this story, people can't believe. I said, we just announced it in church. People started pitching in, and we were a little church. They said, "How many people do you have?" 50 people on a good day, 100 people max. And you took on what? You took on a project like this? And to be benevolent and to open up doors and minister to people that you don't know and provide for them. And you got to know, You see, you got to be around here a little bit, but I know the story behind almost every one of our residents, almost every one of those rooms. I know which ones were sleeping in their cars. I know which ones had enough money, but were so lonely and so broken, and if they didn't get into a place where there could be hands-on every day, that their lives literally wouldn't, they were hanging in the balance. One reason or another, somebody's here. Serene is here for a reason. God sent her here for a reason. We got some people here who are rougher than others, you know, and harder to minister to, but they're here. God brought them to us. And they're here for us to get our spiritual hands on them and to show them the love of God. And we got people here who've tried to commit suicide. And we got people here who have been on drugs. And we got people here who have been in the ministry almost their whole lives. What a blend of people. I mean, and you put all that together, and we're, anyway. So we got in this property with like $100,000 debt. Before long, because we filled up, a piece of property became available in Bonner Springs. We went out to look at it, and we did the same thing. We made a puny offer. They called us back on that piece of property, and they said, we're going to reject the offer that you made, because we were offering like $100,000 for a nice little facility, a stone facility out there. And they said, we're going to reject that offer, but we was wondering to know if we were just to give it to you for a dollar, if you'd take it. And so we did a little dance in the kitchen down there. When we got that telephone call, we went out and started to work on that. So we got another facility. There was for a little while, there was a Liberty Christian Life Center West. And so we opened that up, and we were able to touch a few lives. The load was too much for us, and we couldn't bear it. See, we don't know God's plan. You just live day by day. Just trust the Lord. God's got a plan. God works things out for His glory, for our good and for His glory, for our good and His glory. And so we were overloaded with it, and we decided, boy, that's too much. We can't do it. We had the $100,000 debt that was here on this property, and we had a need for some roofing to be done that was a desperate need, and an elevator. We were one elevator's down, the other elevator's in trouble, and there were major expenses, and we didn't have the money. And we looked to see what we had in our hand. We had that piece of property in our hand. We put it up for sale. It sold. It sold within a couple of months. And it sold for enough money. We paid $1 for it. We occupied it for a couple of years, and we sold it for enough money to pay off our debt on this property and to fix our roof and get our elevator fixed. And we became a debt-free ministry, and we've been a debt-free ministry from that time till now. And we're in the middle of a miracle. We're sitting here on a piece of property like this and able to touch a number of people. We've got like 54 apartments that are here in-house where we can provide. And again, there's some here because they need it financially, some here because they need it emotionally, some here, all are here, though, by appointment. And so we're in the middle of a miracle. I would love to just take time to, I just told them a couple quick stories about transformations that took place from people, from just being in here for a little season. Lives turned upside down, some giving their heart to Jesus, some filled with the Holy Spirit, some getting new livers, some getting their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We've got story after story. And so when you're in the middle of it, it doesn't feel like miraculous. I'm just encouraging you to stand back and see and say, oh, God, look what we're part of. Look what we're doing here. And don't let it slip by you without just being thankful for it. While I'm doing that, then let me exhort you at this. Whatever you do, I'm going to do this on an individual level for you. This is our devotion time now. And then we'll sing a couple worship choruses and pray. This is, we're done with the overhead now, right? Okay. This is Colossians 3, verse 23, I believe. It says that whatever you do, now I'm going to talk to you individually, and I'm going to talk to you as a body now, corporately. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Heartily. What does that mean? Heartily. If you do something heartily, put your heart into it. Can you tell when somebody's got their heart in what they're doing? You know? How about when you worship? Can you tell when somebody's got their heart in it? When somebody's talking to you or somebody's trying to share that they care about you, can you tell kind of when their heart's in it? It says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And then from Romans chapter 12, this is the chapter that starts off saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now watch, there's a phrase in here that captured me this week. Present your bodies to him a living sacrifice. And it calls that your reasonable service. It's only reasonable after what he's done for you. You know, your reasonable service, that you offer yourself up totally to him. And so when we give ourselves totally to the Lord, I might say, whoa, God's doing a lot of things. I want to put something on you and take something off of you. You don't have to do a lot of things. Did you know it? God hasn't called most of you to do a lot of things, but he's called you to do something. And that's why it says whatsoever. Colossians, from that verse, says whatsoever. And it says whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. When I was telling the story today, I got to tell him about, we announced the very first Sunday that we announced this, what we was thinking to do. Before that week was over, a couple in our church that owned a house not too far from the facility said, we prayed together. We feel like we're supposed to just, we're going to give up our regular jobs. We want to move in and just do with us what you want to do. We're just going to come and help you. And that was Alan Cindy Young. And then they spent years here laying down their lives just up. And I mean, I was so novice at everything. I didn't realize at the time that I couldn't have done it without them. But I know now, boy, looking back, that was a miracle. That was a tremendous miracle that God provided for them. On the heels of that came a maintenance guy one of the head maintenance people for a big Danesco outfit in Gardner, and knew how to do things I didn't know how to do. When he first came and looked at the property, he said, oh, this is too much. It's too much tackle. We don't want to do this. But then he said, I'm just thinking, you know, Jesus said, I don't want to do this. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's what he said. And I had a guy come to me and do the same thing almost. He said, this is too much. Too much service tackle. He says, you don't know what you're getting yourself into here. He says, you got major problems here. But that's what he said. He said, nevertheless, if you feel like God's leading us to do this, I'm committed to you. That's my friend David. And there's been things go wrong here. We'd still be sitting waiting for hot water. Some of you still be waiting for hot water. You think it's taking a long time to get hot water now. There's some things like that. Donna served as our secretary from the beginning. I get stories. You know, you want to hear one quick one? We started off meeting in Washington Elementary School. And so Donna and Larry, they'd be responsible for so many things. We'd have to set up everything. And they'd do the offering, take it home, keep the books and all that. And so in and out of church to Sundays and then Wednesday nights. And one time they went out, and Larry was helping load the car and put all the stuff, getting Donna in, and he put the money bag on top of the car from the offering for Sunday. And they drove off. Later on, I got a call and said, we got home, we don't have... And, you know, God looked out for us. I don't know how that came. Yeah. They kept Michelle and lost the money. But somebody returned all the money. Somebody brought all the checks back, all the money back. Said, we found this money back for your church. And anyway, all those years of service, right in the middle of everything God's doing. And so, whatever, I was visiting with Mike Postlewaite a few weeks ago and just talking, just appreciating how many years they've been faithfully supporting, standing by us. And he said, well, I've seen you do good things. I said, no, you didn't see me do good things. I said, every one of those things, every whatever, because see, I'm with him. I pray for him. And everything, every time he touches somebody, I'm with him. And every time we touch somebody, he's with us. And whatever we're doing together. So now I'm going to get back to my point. Whatever you do, see, you whatever your part is. I can't tell you what your part is. But whatever you do it heartily. Some of you don't know, we got people that have done things behind the scenes for a long time. Doug and Linda, if you appreciate a clean church and having, you know, empty trash cans and floors that are been vacuumed and windows that are cleaned. I'm not supposed to tell because they don't want anybody, but they're not doing it now. They quit. So I can brag on them now. I didn't say anything about it while he's doing it. But they're just doing this. And you know how they did it? I never heard them complain one time about it. And they did it beyond what I would expect. And they did it heartily. So we thank you. You're good people. In the last year, if you haven't noticed, I have lost my hair, a number of teeth, some of my bones, and my. This is not negative. This is wonderful. My days are numbered. God's wonderful plan for me. And there's a prophecy hanging over me that I'd be able to pour myself into some young ministers. And so I don't know how many of them are yet to come, but one of them's here. And God has given David Triplett to us as a church, as a fellowship. And he's relieved pressure for me and been a tremendous blessing. And we'll stand back and see what God's going to do in the days to come. But he'll be right in the middle of it all, I know. So back to my theme, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. That means do it with your whole heart. And then in Romans chapter 12, let me get back to that again. This is just your reasonable service. And then it starts breaking it down. It says, so if you're called to prophesy, then put your whole heart into it and prophesy. And I know you can't do everything else, but see, you're in touch with that thing that God's impressing you to do right now. So do that. What I'm telling you is when you try to spread yourself across everything, you probably won't be able to do the one thing you're supposed to do heartily with your whole heart. And so zero in on that. And when it comes to giving, when it comes to serving, see, every one of those, there's a grace that's released for you. And so I started thinking about the context there is because you're members of the body of Christ and members one of another. And the way the whole body is made strong is when every individual member, you know, eyes can't hear and feet can't feel like fingers can, but feet help fingers get to where they need to be so they can feel what they need to feel. And we need. And wouldn't it be awful if someone went on vacation? I mean, it's okay every now and then, you know. I want to sit and put my feet up, don't you? I want to close my eyes sometimes. But listen, you don't want to. Thank God your eyes aren't going to go on a 4-week vacation. Huh? And your feet's not going to. You don't want your liver to quit for very long, do you, at a time? See, God designed your body like that, and he says, you're the body of Christ. So do it wholeheartedly. And know that you can't take care of everybody's business, but boy, you can sure take care of yours. And that's my challenge to you tonight. And I appreciate you. Appreciate everything that you've done, the way you stood by us. All right, praise God. In the way of things being done, we've had roofing done this year. Apartments been remodeled and updated. We had windows put in. hot water tanks put in. To come, we've got a breezeway remodel job that's coming and an annex laundry room that's going to be coming. And the dining room's going to be remodeled. And we'll get around to the restrooms coming, but we've put them on hold for a little bit. All right, praise God. Do you kind of get the idea of my devotion tonight? You can't be a part-time body member. You can be a part-time church member, but you can't be a part-time body member. See your body. Members of your body. I never have to worry about if it's going to be here with me. It's always with me. Whatever part it is. It's always with me. Sometimes it goes to sleep and I'd wake it up. But it's always with me, and get committed that way. And again, it's not to doing everything, but to doing who you are. And I don't know what they're going to say about you when you're done, but I hope they say, boy, they did it heartily. Amen. All right, praise God. Anybody have anything you want to share? Can we sing a couple worship songs? Praise God.
Presence of the great.
lift up a hallelujah to the Lord. The storm, louder.